This afternoon, we'd like to see the title of For Good in Book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26 through 39. For online courses people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. What does it mean? So verse 28, what does it mean? Question 2, in verse 30, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, whom He called, these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. Why does God talk about us in the past tense? He also glorified, although we are not glorified yet. Question 3. In verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What does this verse emphasize? For today's studies of Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 39, we'd like to see the background. Book of Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 24. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors, so whole people groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So it simply means we all are Christians, the first fruit of the Spirit. So we all have indwelling Holy Spirit. So whoever believes has the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So, but we are eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body until we move into heaven, where our Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God the Father. For we were saved in this hope. So we were already saved in this hope. This is a past tense. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So patiently, we eagerly waiting on the glorified body in heaven. Then today, verse 26 through 39. So 26 through 30 talk about from various trials to glory. So verses 31 through 39 talk about the love of Christ. So here, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So basically, sometimes we don't know, you know, how to pray. So one example, so homosexuality happening, you know, so the world, you know, said homosexual marriage rather than homosexual cohabitation. So although the God says in Book of Romans chapter 1 verse 26-27, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, father is evil, passions. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. So here talks about lesbian. Likewise, also the man leaving the nature use of the woman burned in their lust for one another. Men with man, homosexual, same gender or male cohabitation, committing what is sinful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So the Bible said clearly this is a sin. So, but how, you know, we should pray for, you know, homosexual, you know, people. But here, we don't know how to pray. We should, we ought, as we ought. But the Supreme himself makes intercession. So Supreme is an intercessionally helper, intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered, which cannot express. Then verse 27, now he, the Holy Spirit, God, who searches the heart and knows. So God knows the heart of the Spirit. So here, Psalm chapter 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God knows the heart of the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. What the mind of the Spirit is. So the mind of the Spirit. So God knows the will of God. So the Holy Spirit dwells in me. God knows the will of the Spirit who dwells in me. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to will of God. So God the Father allows us the Holy Spirit as intercession for the saint according to the will of God. So that's why we are praying in the Spirit. So that meaning sometimes we don't know, but the Holy Spirit, you know, leading us, you know, to pray for, you know, homosexual people who repent their sin of homosexuality, then, you know, turn back to the Lord. Obeying, you know, God's word, you know, such as Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, or the book of Genesis, you know, God's penalty about, you know, the Gomorrah, like that. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. What does it mean? Here, three bases are required. Number one, first of all, those who love God. So whether or not I love God. So if you do not love God, so this verse is not applicable. Number two, to those who are the called, which means you are born-again Christian. So if you are non-Christian, so not applicable. Number two, you are the called, is a born-again Christian. So here, a little deeply understanding, even if a born-again Christian, he or she commits sin, so not applicable. So here, then according to his purpose, so according to his purpose. So believers in whom the Spirit works. So this is the three bases required. You know, first, those who love God. Number two, those who are the called, believe. Also, according to his purpose, according to, you know, God's purpose, the Holy Spirit's the working, you know, Christian, not, you know, fleshly Christian. So also this verse is not applicable to non-believer, you know, non-Christian. So that's why all things work together for God. One example, Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament, he had, you know, a lot of the severe, you know, trials. He was sold as a slave, you know, to the Arabian, you know, people. You know, then he was accused of false, you know, adultery, rape, you know, something like that, in prison. You know, that kind of happening, but Joseph loved God. Joseph are called by God, so according to his purpose, according to God's purpose. That's why all things work together for good. Finally, Joseph become the prime minister of Egypt to have saved it. Israelite who was hungry or who were in famine, like that. Verse 29, so likewise, you know, although we face, you know, several trials and, you know, a lot of us troubles, but we so still, you know, so but the all things work together for good, you know, according to God's purpose. So we know that. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, so God is a foreknowledge. Foreknowledge meaning God knows already before it will happen. So God knows, you know, whatever, you know, will happen. God knows everything before what, you know, will happen, whatever will happen. He also predestined. So based upon God's foreknowledge, God predetermined to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God, you know, just set up, you know, his son was crucified for our sins and resurrected. So right now, God, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand side of God. So firstborn, then all believers adopted, you know, children, adoptive son or daughter. So that one is God already determined. God knows who are going to be saved, you know, everything. So John chapter 15, verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet, however, because you are not of the world, or you are not belonging to the world, but I chose you out of the world. Here, the Lord chose us, here, predestination. Therefore, the world hates you. Also, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance of the kingdom of God, you know, in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, being, you know, predestined according to the purpose of him, according to God's purpose, we are predestined to inherit, you know, the heaven, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, who works all things according to counsel of his will. So then also Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, also before I formed you, God told Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So God had a foreknowledge right here. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set apart you from the world, sanctify you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. God already ordained you a prophet to the nation. Here, so we see, you know, God's predestination and the foreknowledge. I knew you. Then also, we God, you know, allowed us a gift of free will. So we can exercise a free will to accept or to reject. Here, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Here, the first time in chapter 3, verse 2, is basically talking about God's ultimate purpose. God's verse 29, and God's, you know, ultimate purpose is we shall be like him. So we are being sanctified like the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, you know, God's, you know, the ultimate, you know, purpose. Then also now talking about the free will, because God, you know, gave us a free will. Free will, we can exercise free will to accept God's what God said or reject. For example, Adam, Eve, God gave his free will to Adam. You can eat, you know, every fruit except the fruit of the tree, knowledge of good and evil, you know, so they can accept. But so the Adam exercise his free will to reject, you know, God's prohibition, commandment, not to eat the fruit of a tree of knowledge of evil and good, you know, kind of thing. Here, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Then, whoever believes in him, whoever accepts in the Lord Jesus gets saved, believe in him. If you do not believe, so you shall, you know, perish. But the whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. So now accept him. You will say, accept the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior. Now is the day of salvation. So accept his time. Now it is the day of salvation. So, you know, that kind of, you know, proceeding requirement is, so first of all, repent in our sin, then accept the Lord Jesus Christ Savior, then before brothers and children, so we would God, you know, the baptism by water, then the baptism by water is to usually passed, you know, baptize certain new Christian in the name of God the Father, Son of God, Holy Spirit, over Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, you know, like that. So then we see that. So this one is now in acceptable. I ever heard you and their salvation. I ever helped you. That is Isaiah chapter 49, you know, verse 8. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, look, now is the day of salvation. So the nucleus of salvation is accepted time. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Then, you know, the consequence of certain ceremonial requirement, you know, world baptism kind of thing. Then, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All the things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So all things, you know, fleshly life is gone. Now new creation, new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Supreme led life. The supreme filled life. Then verse 3, moreover, whom he predestined or predetermined, these he also called, whom he called. So God, you know, called the believers. These who also justified. Justified meaning God deemed us as a righteous man or a just man based upon, you know, our faith, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So God glorified is not glorified yet. Glorified is at the time when we move into heaven by rapture or by, you know, physical death, meaning separation between physical body and soul and spirit, that moment. So not there, but God said, God speaks it, glorified, past tense, as if it already was done. So past the fact. Although we haven't yet arrived, been glorified. So then, verse 32, 33, 34, 35, 37, kind of, you know, the consequence, you know, God has foreknowledge, God has predestination. Those things, attributes of God's characteristics. Verse 31, what then shall we say to this thing? If God is for us, who can be against us? So here, emphasize faith, you know. So God is for us, who can be against? Nobody can against, you know, us. You know. God is, you know, sovereignty, almighty God. So any creatures cannot against us. You know? So that kind of thing, you know, Second Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9 through 12, we can see Asa, the king of Judah, case, you know, here, the Asa's face. Then Jared the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, a lot of things. He came to Marasha. So Asa, the king of Judah, went out against him, Ethiopian king, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley, Jephthahar and Marasha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, is it nothing for you? Yeah, because let the Lord fight, you know, against Ethiopian. This is a very good example of Asa's faith, or Asa's venture in faith, to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. So the many, the numbers of people are really don't matter. So basically, many only help us, O Lord, our God, we rest on you. And in your name, we go against the multitude. Your name, we go against this 1,000,000 soldiers and 300 chariots. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let men prevail against you through us. So the Lord struck the Ethiopian before Asa and Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. So Ethiopian defeated, ran away. The First Samuel chapter 14, basically Jonathan and the Jonathan friend fighting the Philistine here. Then Jonathan said to a young man who bore his armor, so just the two people, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised Philistines. It may be that the Lord will work for us for nothing. Restrained the Lord from saving by many or by few. So really, the numbers of people doesn't matter. The matter of the Lord, of God. So this is a very important, you know, like the ministry, everything, same thing. The number is really doesn't matter. The issue is the Lord. You know, church also, you know, same thing. Church is the Lord. And you know, the issue is whether the Lord controls the church. That's a real issue. Lord and govern the church rather than the people, you know, the govern the church. So there is a lot of people govern. Really, you know, doesn't matter. Here, that verse 14, that the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer, his friend, his young boy, made was about 20 men with about half an acre of the land. 20 animals were killed by, you know, Jonathan and Jonathan's friend, you know, armor bearer. Then the Israelite attacked the Philistine. Then verse 23. So the Lord saved Israel. That day, the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. So then next is the popular is the young boy David's face against Goliath. The First Samuel chapter 14 verse 47. Then all his assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. So David, you know, took the bear to Goliath. Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Basically, let the Lord participate in the battle, and he will give you into our hands. So this is, if God is for us, who can be against us? Basically, this is Paul emphasizing the faith in the Lord. Then verse 32, in that time, in Roman circumstances, the persecuting time, serious persecuting time was coming soon, when disciple wrote this book of Romans. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, so God the Father gave his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, whatever necessary things, which are necessary for God, you know, God gave us. Because God does not spare his son, which means God gave his son for us for crucifixion, then raised him up. So then we are working for God's purpose, for God's merit. So God will provide whatever necessity, freely give us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? So who shall accuse a charge against God's, against the creature? This is ultimately Satan and his devils, alone. So also Psalm chapter 32, verse 2, David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, does not charge iniquity. So how, we, our impurity are not, charged based upon, believing the Lord Jesus Christ, so we repent in our sin, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So there is no deceit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that is intercession, because Jesus Christ is an advocate. Also verse 34, who is he who condemns? That's the devil or accuser, Satan. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. This is indicating risen, meaning defeating any accuser, any Satan power ability, who is even at the right hand of God. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sitting at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So Jesus Christ, intercession. So the sitting right hand over God the Father, but the other party, the accuser, the Satan is there. First John, now, First John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, this thing I write to you, so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So if anyone sins, so we, confess our sin, we are forgiven by the Lord. So at that time, the Jesus Christ advocate, said, so I, forgive his sin for my debts, like that. So that's the intercession. Also, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, high priest talks about, seeing then that we have a great high priest. High priest is, intercessor between, or a mediator between, God the Father and people, dead world, who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. So the high priest Jesus Christ understood our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted. The logic of Jesus Christ was tempted, so Jesus Christ understood our situation. But as we are exactly the same, yet without sin, but sinless, we are sinners, but Jesus Christ, the sinless, Jesus Christ is sinless, but Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. So that Jesus Christ, great high priest, mediator between God the Father and the people and us, so also advocate as well. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? The answer is rhetorical question, nothing. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. The persecution here, particular persecution, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, because there is the kingdom of heaven. So we are persecuted for God's righteousness. Then we are blessed because the kingdom of heaven is ours. John chapter 15 verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you, because we are servants, you know, for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that will persecute. If they keep my word, if they keep, you know, my word, you know, the Lord's word, God's word, they will keep yours, because we are servants, we are delivered, you know, over the Lord's word. That's why, and deliver the word, they will keep it. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, this is as God said, you know, we should be joyful. My brethren, count it all joy, you know, joy, you know, when you fall into various trials, while you face various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces the patience. Fierce trials and produce patience, endurance, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, lacking nothing. So whenever you face and face trials, you should be, you know, joyful. First 37, because you know, perfect, the lacking nothing. The face, you know, so is received by us. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Conqueror here, why, you know, more than conqueror? Victories, you know, in the past victory of a battle, that's right. You know, when, you know, you have a certain game, you know, you got the win, that moment, you know, you became, you know, conqueror. You are victor. But more than conqueror, meaning, although the game is not finished, you are, you know, the victor. Because God has, you know, foreknowledge and predestined. So we know that, you know, we are finally victory, the victory winner, but the Satan, you know, ultimately put into the lake of fire. You know, so victors in past victory of a battle, but we are victors in the midst of the spiritual battle before achieving the final victory. So why? Because we already know, you know, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, you know, so that's why. So we know that. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principality nor power. Principality nor power is, you know, ranking of angels. We can see, you know, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, you know, for we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principality, against the power. Here is the evil angels, the ranking talking about. And good angels rank. Good angels are basically working for God. Evil angels against God. And principality, power is against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So spiritual period. Which the Paul, you know, talks about. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having disarmed principality and powers, disarmed the principality of the angels' ranking, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The Lord made a public spectacle of them. The Lord has made, you know, to every people see, you know, our triumphing over them, over in the satanic power. So we know that Millennium Kingdom, before Millennium Kingdom, the Satan and his devil, you know, fall into bottomless pit. But at the end of Millennium Kingdom, those will cast out into Gehenna or Lake of Fire. You know. So finally, we know that. For no height, no depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So any creatures, you know, in heavenly creature, earthly creature, any creature cannot, you know, separate us from the love of Christ or the love of God. So let's see each question. In verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. What does it mean? Here, three bases required. Number one, love God. Number two, you are the called. You are called by God. So excluding unbelief. Number three, according to God's purpose. Not in a flesh purpose and evil purpose. So then all things will together for good. So that kind of, you know, really encouraging word, you know. So that's why, you know, so we, you know, repent, you know, daily. Certain mistake, you know, then is we are looking for God, you know. We love God. We know that we are called by God. So then according to God's purpose. So we are seeing, you know, the God's will. Question to in verse 3, moreover, whom He predestined, these who are called, whom He called, these He also justified. So we know that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we, you know, are justified, right? Then whom He justified, believer, then He also glorified. Glorified is past tense, you know. God glorified and justified people. So why does God talk about us in the past tense? He was glorified, although we are not glorified. Why? That is a question, verse 3. God speaks it as if it already was done. That's the fact. Although we haven't yet glorified, because God has the attributes of foreknowledge and predestination. That's what God already knew that. So God already is there in the future. That's why God, you know, speaks now as we have been glorified. We were glorified, although we are not in glorified yet. Last question in verse 31, what then shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What does this verse emphasize? This is the faith, emphasize the faith, or venturing faith, or trust in God, no matter what circumstances. So let's just sing song all together, Amazing Grace, then we'll finish today's Bible study.